If we turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 and we continue our studies in the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Let me read a bit from Matthew chapter 5. Let's share a rather Jesus Christ in church our travel. People so are a friend of Sermon on the Mount. Last week we considered verse 10 to 12, and here the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And we learned that these are those who follow Christ by faith and practice, for which the world will oppose them. So these are the true Christians. And And they will be persecuted because believers are persecuted because their conduct will offend unbelievers. As the Lord Himself, His life and His conduct offended unbelievers when He was on earth. We remember in the Gospels many times the unbelieving Jews will try to oppose Him, and they were the same people that persecuted Him to His death. So that's what we looked at last week, the persecuted. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Tonight we will look at verse 13 to 16. I'm sure we will be able to complete this part 13 to 16. And this will be part 9 of this series. We'll share verse 13, after 16, and then you read. There will be part 9. For Sermon on the Mount. So I'll begin with verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says that believers, he compares the saved, his church, true believers, to salt. He is Christo, or the this applies to the immediate disciples and by extension to all believers. Salt is a natural preservative. When it is used in some foods, it prevents infections and decay. We know salted fish or salted meat. Enchine yade a yedise de kanduane bi ho a ema eproye ene osei embem ene yeni namo yede enchine aka a ndiensei yedise enu sa enduane bi sa enduane bo yede enchine ka ensei. So in what sense are believers compared to salt? And then a kwan ba yeso na ejedi fo Jesus Christ odi omo atoto enchine ho. Firstly, they say that salt in reference to themselves. They decay a jedi for Christ, one wa wadi wonkwa, wadi wonbo ni achi won, omo ye ntine ewo nwa omumu nchine omu ya nchine ewo ayadia ayye ipato ayye wade tutu omu ankasa omu esu ene ananasa omu ankasa sabi omu tie and this part of believer's life is made possible because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the saved after conversion. The Holy Spirit and His holy influence, the righteous influence in the believer's life, preserve them from moral corruption in the world. They are never overcome by sin. And their life, though they live in this world, the sin do not control them. So that the decay of sin as condemnation and it all that comes into life of sinners, they are preserved from sin. Yeah, they may be tempted, they may sometimes we should fall into sin, but by the work of the Holy Spirit who sanctifies them, they are kept from the destructive nature of sin. They are telling say, you see a jelly for and see a few can say on one cast on mumu and near mo dear coupon I am or mono. A tremis ma conconti a Christophum say a tian qua. Yesu Kristo dia bone chenye na se beye ne nko ko a o ma nko ko betra yemu na nko ko ni ni a ni su konkro na edwumadi odi we mu no e ma bone ene bone susu a wo wi ase e pro nipa e ma nipa abrabo ye basa no e jedi fo nko ko ni edwumadi enti no e di e fi sa bone mu ti bone entumi hye e Kristo fo so ma ense ye money and to make used to for a bravo. So Christians are preserved from the corrupting nature of sin, even in this life. How sin corrupts human life, all the immoralities of life, how it controls human life, people so that they are not able to overcome it. Believers are preserved from a life, a complete life of sin. There can be on this America say a jedi for Christo Mono, a so many centuries we say. Just Hong Kong Jumedi or Dio, you Emma, ye ni bonnet, ye to be Messia Bonias, if you say, Oma, ye to mean yasa, a Hode or Hong Kong Quiso, so that ye a bravo bonnet say so, my bonnet be dear, so my ye bonnet and quadrum. A dear, a treasure, ye if you bonnet or say any bonnet pro, the one the boy for a bravo. Moreover, Christians are salt, or believers are salt also. It shows that the presence of the believers in this world keep the world from destruction. How God will destroy this world one day. The world is marked for destruction by God, but because His people are here, so that destruction is not yet. So they are like the preserving of the world. They are the preservatives of the world. Because God has His people here. And His people are like salt. It's because of them, God of believers, God's destruction is still on hold. And that by the day that the Lord Jesus Christ will return, when He will take His ransom church from the world, that is His salt from the world, then this world will be destroyed. You see, so again we see that while believers are on in this world, the world represents them from destruction. If you are saying, I should be so here and Jesus is on me and Chenua. If you miss my own, miss my movie, I seem to know we are saying, Miss your professor, say we are saying, Onyan say we are saying. If you say the Nimba, Nathan and Cope, one as a one, Christopher Jono was as he is. Until we are saying, Cosay, answer if you say, Christopher was as he is. So in this sense, they are the salt of the earth, they are the preservative of the world. They are those by whom the reason why the world is not destroyed. Christopher, a jedi for Jesus Christ, a John, I am sorry for a jedi for a John, Omuntino, Yakupo, what kind of message we are saying? If we say, jedi for, let's not sorry. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, 2 Peter 3, 7 to 13 speaks of the first Thessalonians speaks of when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, believers who meet Him in the air, and they will go and forever live with Him. So they will be out of this world. And 2 Peter 3, 17 tells us that this world will be destroyed with fervent heat. God will melt this world. Everything will be destroyed. But this will happen when the believers have been taken out of this world. Yeah, Bible reference to our mind of 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17, which says, Yes, Christ, I don't remember no. A jetty for your bishiano. No, you not sorry for your own way, or John, can be with you as I see no one not enough people. Now, 2 Peter 3, 7, chapter 3, verse 7 to 13, which says, Yankupon, or best say we are see, or the jack, best she be here, or we are see. Now, sir, answer as I'm ready, but not jetty for you as I see so. The believers will not be destroyed with this world. So, in this sense, true Christians or true believers are the salt of the earth. So, in Christ, the JD4, and once I see Sunyan Kupon, this is the person who says we are so, or Trinquan and I ask. There are some who say, so far, not sorry, and I said, the JD4, I want to give Christ to it, you want, they do want one year, I tell you, not Christ to it. The Christ to back, that's the form of who we ask him to pay. And coupon, label for sure, so the same we ask, no, and they judge what we ask in the banner. And also, I try to say, Christopher, and Chile was as he so. So, believers, true Christians, are the salt of the earth in these two sense which we are thinking of. So, we can see that the earth still runs its course because there is salt of God's elect in it. There's God's salt, God's elect in the world. They are the salt of the earth. That's why the world runs its course. But how are believers despised by the world? The world think, unbelievers think the world is, they are there to enjoy, though. God is keeping this world on its course, running each and every day, because his people are on earth. Believers are on earth, and he's saving from the generations that are coming on earth. And on the day that he will finish, he knows the number that he wants to save. Out of the descendants of Adam, who are sinners, only he knows. So that generation, that will be the last generation that will come, only he knows. Those that he will save out of them, then the world comes to an end. So you see, his people are on earth, so the earth is preserved from destruction. Remember, God destroyed the world with flood. Immediately, Noah's family entered the ark. So Noah and his family were like the salt of the earth in the old world. Again, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Immediately, Lot was taken out of Sodom. They preserve because of them, God keeps this world running. So you see that God's people at all times are salt of the earth, and God will not destroy the world or the sinners with his people. Those that he has saved, he will not destroy with unbelievers. So it is a gracious privilege to be the salt of the earth as among God's people. And indeed, if we are true believers, this must encourage us to represent him. I am part of God's salt on the earth. The salt is because God has made them salt. Believers are not salt by themselves, as I said. The Holy Spirit in them, his influence in them, that makes them such. Naturally, none is salt of the earth. We are all worthless, useless things in the world, the eyes of God, because of our sinfulness, our good, as fruity rust before God, then how come some have become salt so that they are preservatives of the world? But because of God's grace, as I said, by the working of the Holy Spirit in us, day by day, he keeps us from sin. And then we ourselves, because of us in this world, the Lord has kept the destruction of this world to the time he will take the last of the redeemed out of this world. And so the world may be displeased with believers, but believers are precious to the Lord. See, the believers are the salt of the earth. And Lord Jesus Christ, he are the salt of the earth. And you see, at the time he was saying, you know that the Jews, being those who were in authority, were despising them. They saw them as hopeless people, because they even rejected Christ as the Messiah. And they saw his disciples. I remember when Peter, when they arrested Lord Jesus Christ, and he went to the high priest's palace, and they said, "Oh, he's part of the disciples. Are you not part of them?" Like pointing, they want to also arrest him. You see, it's like He's nobody before them, but all believers are precious in the eyes of the Lord. You see, the Lord says, right, though the world despises them, so this is a way to comfort them. The world will despise you because, you know, the apostles themselves were going to preach the gospel. They were going to establish the church. They were going to be despised. But I said, no, whatever the world has done to you, you are the salt of the earth. You are the reason why this world ran its course. That the Lord is still keeping the world at bay. And that one day, when this your work is done as a faithful, he'll come against the world. So it's a way to encourage believers are the salt of the world. Okay, another aspect of this also is that it has to do with the holy influence of Christians in this world. Not only in themselves as they are kept from sin, but their own the influence of their character. Afei yenhwe se yankasa yemu anase yankasa yesu emu no ba yehwe mesima saa meso ye ntine esusunsu aso a edeba ewiase. So this has, I mean, yeah, the salt of the earth also has to do with the holy influence of Christians in this world. How Christians are here to really influence holiness. Without true believers, there will be no holiness in this world, because unbelievers know nothing of holiness. They don't desire even God or His ways. So here it reminds us that in whichever society a Christian is found, that where home, markets, social gatherings, or on, even on social media in that time, whatever place we find ourselves, a Christian ought to be an opponent of godlessness. You see, he's a salt. Wherever a Christian is found, he ought to be seen as, and not that he will say, I oppose godlessness, no, but his behavior, his action, should be seen as the person who opposes godlessness. The other kind of said, Christo ni na bra bones so and so ebe we are so chess or yen chine. Na when my who said Christo ni paku bi anase bia anase mpo na ka center na social media baby say ye jom say ye fie say ye jumem a ebe hu no ho a asa ni pa ho no o so ye obi ehu se ono no o ye obi a ochi a nioma enso radie ni ochi bone anase ye obi a and rather he's a promoter of godliness. Then mom say watch na bra bo any ni jumedia dey dey say onye obi a oni mumuye oni boni ewo ihitamudie no so ye obi a oda nyamesom pedi and as a konkron abrabo edi. So here also the saltiness of believers is here, the holy influence which a believer exists in this world. And this also, as I said, talking about the holy influence, a Christian's character ought to be an antidote of vice at all times. That I'm a Christian, my conduct should be seen as an opponent of every evil thing. Should be an antidote of vice at all times. At all places, I should be, I am a Christian, like, see how the people wear religious dress, like the Roman Catholic, the priest, or they are the Holy Father, no, and then the Holy Sister, no. It's not what we are talking. We are talking about how I act and do my things naturally as a Christian. It should show that I am opposing every act of ungodliness. I should be seen as somebody whose life is always against vice. See, it shows how Christian preserves a society so that in a group, in a place where everything is corrupted, a Christian should be seen as the one who is preserving godliness in the midst of such godly society. And a married or unmarried Christian, a Christian ought to promote godliness wherever it is found. It ought to be the salt of that place. Say, Christian, this one worry you, so worry you, so your tibia. Maybe you even who be your name, you paku be a one can get a good idea. No, say who saw you be a Yamason fan or that day. You'll be on no dear Yame and a not fine conqueror bravo and a dear or no, or dear. I'm sure we know these people have put so many things, they promote many things. nowadays and on the internet people promote so many things, but for the Christian, whereas the Christian is on the internet, wherever he is, he's a promoter of godliness. Everywhere I'm found, I'm salt. See, I'm sure we know what how salt is. You cannot add salt to anything without feeling it or tasting it. Anything, for instance, you let something like a food that you need sugar. Let them put. Sometimes we stick ourselves in the kitchen, maybe the container that has salt, then we mistake and put sugar. I've done some before, and then the soup turns sugary because it was changed. But you see the difference immediately. You taste the food, you say, "Oh, I've done a mistake." You see, so salt is salt. Salt will always be known as salt. There's no way that where there's salt, you say, "Oh, no, we can't." No, we taste salt. So we should be known as such. We should be. Our life should taste in the eyes or in the when people observe us. If we are Christians, they should see us Christians, those who are promoters of holiness. Remember, for instance, Moses, you know that apart from God's appointment of him to lead the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, we find him as an opponent of oppressors. He was somebody who never he was never happy with oppressors. You know, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, when because of the first incident where there were two people fighting, and one was the Egyptian was hurting Israel, and he went to he fought and he killed the Egyptian. He buried him. The next day he came again to fight. He was trying to separate them, and then they blew the alarm. Then he has to run because Pharaoh wanted to arrest him. Immediately he went to the land of Midian. The first place he went, the priest of Midian, his daughters were coming to fetch water. But we are told that there were some shepherds who were trying to wouldn't allow them. And he went there to drive them away and let these women fetch their water. And later, he led them to their house. So, we see that even Moses, being chosen to be a leader of Israel, he was somebody who was truly never compromised with those who oppresses people. He was moved with that. He had sympathy for those who are oppressed, and he did everything he can to help them. You see, the first one landed him in trouble in Egypt, where he had to run for his life. But in Midian, he went there and still helped. You see, he was run away because of he helped people and he fell in trouble. But still, he went there and he did the same thing. You see, so he was seen as a man of someone who stood for people, has sympathy to help those who are good of bread. You see, if you most say, Mr. Maker said, we are a Christopher and Chine, oh, yes, Mosa, yes, too, and eh, your bra bonnet, a day, a tre, say, young of what, young pep, a bonnet name, will be a. And no, if you're Moses, Abraham, but Moses, answer your program, a fan of say, Omedi Israel, when you know. If you're Abraham, one will be a umpe, almost is in confusion. No, and no, be now, or quite a be a ma, who can Egypt in the second one, no, or call a cobble be on our face, Omokasa, the Osalukum, Obia, Nana, Pharaoh, Tia, and about Moses, so Jenny Egypt. Now, or call, as I say, a medium for her, so or call a panel. Na full and full person who is embarrassed on my persons, you are among one or quite a couple. So we see that if we say Moses, it will be a now on person who said, obi titi obi. So it was part of his life. Wherever he found himself, he was willing to help, even if it will cost him his own happiness. So that the same way. A Christian ought not to look on sin with ease, you see. A Christian do not have to look on sin with ease. Christoni, so a Christoni and pa, say, yeah, it's no we are. So, if you want any mumuya, well, and fire that be. If only our attitude is able to show the difference and know sin is sin and it's wrong, a Christian life in that instant or his action in that instant must show that no is against whatever is corrupt and wrong. That we ought to be disgusted and abhorred by every immorality. You see, and when we see every immorality, we ought not to be at ease with it, because salt will always differentiate itself against all other properties that are found with it. Also, we see of Joseph, Joseph's sincerity was seen in the house of Potiphar. Even more, even before he was sold, it was out of his sincerity. He wanted to tell his father, he told his father all the bad things the brothers did, and they hated him. He came to Potiphar's house out of his sincerity. He was made captain of the house. And later, out of his sincerity, the wife lied about him. And then in prison also, out of sincerity, he was in charge of the prisoners. And then, when he became also a statesman, we saw his sincerity in his dealings, you see. So, his life was seen as a man of sincerity. He was able to act and deal wisely and carefully as a child of God. So we see God's people are salt of the earth. You see, wherever they are found, they are seen. They are identified. They are seen as those who are God's people. And they will not tell people merely that we are God's people, but their actions show. Remember Abraham, the first time he moved to the land of Canaan, the first thing he did to erect an altar for God to sacrifice. You see? The first thing he did to erect an altar to show that he's a worshiper of God, to differentiate himself from the people of the land and they are whatever they seem to be. So, God's people are always salt of the earth in wherever they are found. But my question to us, those of us who are believers, are we conscious of this? That we are the salt of the earth, and that our actions, wherever we are found, we should act as those who are preservers of godliness, those who promote godliness. The Americans here, Sheikh Joseph, and the most Abraham, they are the patron said, Omu chese, omu yankofua, omu enchi, omu chibone, omu yankofua, omu jahoma, nyankupona, kwa yano. In America, said, yes, who are you so far? Hey, yeah, really bring me and you who said, yeah, before or said, yeah, yeah, you bought a conqueror bravo. I that conqueror bravo with Diana. Are we conscious of that? Are we always conscious of that duty of holiness so that wherever we find ourselves, we want holiness to prevail? So maybe a who will be and if I said, conqueror bravo, I saw a day, Diana. So that we are always acting as catalysts of holiness, where people don't care, where everybody, don't care what happened, we are careful to see that the right thing is done, that the Lord is honest and that His ways are not left. You know, in this world, no one cares about the ways of God, but the Lord has His people in this world, and that is believers. And we are supposed to preserve His religion, His worship, His ways, and His how the Lord wants the world to be, as we pray that in the Lord's Prayer, that Thy will be done on it. How can it be done? It is done on it by we, His people, being obedient to Him. Yes, the Lord will be done as His eternal purposes, but for His creatures who have gone astray from His ways, who have lost the purpose of life, and whether nations or towns or individuals or whatever, His people are those who are living out so that His purpose for this world will be accomplished. We are asked in the confession, we learned that we are made to glorify Him. You see, so our life should be that, and we should be those who are ever, because those of us whom He has redeemed, He has redeemed us for this purpose. So we always ought to be catalysts of holiness. Do you know that children of Satan, unbelievers, sinners, people of this world, they are always busy promoting His immoral agenda everywhere? I'm sure see him say, "Obun samba, we are say for our money at the boy for moon penny and yes, no. Omoda sorry, the piano, obun sam ne, mumuje. And you mind omoda de biamuden, the opposite of course we are seeing. That's what they are. Satan is never asleep. It's always exciting sinners to sin and commit sin and as if man is made to sin. See? And that's the purpose of Satan. And his children, those who are unrepentant sinners, I'm sure at the workplace we know many of our colleagues who don't care about God, and the attitude is always, they don't care whether there's corruption or what. At the marketplace, in the schools, in the maybe in the homes where a believer lives, unbeliever, unbelieving relations. We see this. They don't care about God. They don't care. And these days, how many people care even if you break the law Sabbath? Nobody cares. They will even tell you, "Oh, you are doing too much. Why do you go to church so many times? And why do you observe? No, are you a legalist?" They will tell you, "Oh, no." And many other things which goes around in the world, which the world don't see as sin. And even on the internet, on the TVs, on the radios, on the social media, if a Christian finds himself there, what is he to promote? You see, what am I to promote in these places? Sometimes it's sad because we live in times that where even many who claim to be Christians are not ashamed to identify themselves with immoral things or persons. For example, even social media and the things on the internet. You see, some don't care what they post on social media, whether it's worldly music, false gospel music, profane jokes, sayings, pictures, videos, wherever it comes, they just post. But no, as a Christian, when I'm online, I should be a catalyst for holiness. Others may promote other things. Satan should promote his ideas there. If I am there, what am I promoting? You see? And that is what we are. It means to be salt of this earth. Are we that, you see? If we are found on these places, what do we promote? What do we attach ourselves to? And what is the things that we give approvals to here, you see? Those people who engage in those things, ask yourself, where is their Christian saltiness in those places? Where is their saltiness? Well, that Christian taste of holiness, where is it in these places? So, Christoni, because in the echo, so, So as a Christian, if I attach myself to this, I ask myself, what will this thing do? Does it identify me as a promoter of holiness or a promoter of sin? That's what I have to say. I have to ask myself, you see. Say me this animal way there. Not mention that me, you know. I ain't find that at all. See. And I'm afraid that many may be promoting Satan's godless agenda in these things if they are not taken, you see. Because Satan and his children, they are not sleeping, they are alive, as Satan himself. Each and every day the world is full of immorality and Satan is happy. You see. But where are God's people? Where are we? The Lord says, "You are the salt of the earth." I'm a believer, I am the salt of the earth. I have to make a difference. So wherever I find myself, my character, some people taste or see my character, as you see, That's holiness in me. They may not respect holiness, but they should see that for me, I stand for holiness. So I read you the second part of the verse 13. I'll read the whole and come in a second. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So, we know that salt don't expire. Engineer, natural salt don't expire. Engineer, say you 2 feet and say, so that's what it means. So, whoever claims to be a Christian, if his holy influence is missing, then such a person becomes useless. Some simi a Christian, na kongra bravo sa me bono. Se any abrebia man dan we disa me ye obia me do kongra bravo no. Me obia se me nipa hu. Me nipa hu kra. You say Christian na bravo no. Eda kongra bravo we. See eda kongwe. So if I am portraying things that are not holiness, then I'm useless. Then he said that it is then for good for nothing, but be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. And he said, "Don't match it yet." This scripture said, "Say Christo never go and die for conquering idea." And he said, "Yeah, tomorrow you go from yet." Yes, yeah, that's it. We are useless to him. You see, but the Christian's life ought to be always useful. Useful to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. Yankupo on freyem ba abraboa if you want to name umkongra bravo. See, Christo in that Yankupo on freyem kwa. Yabrabo no ose yabrabo da kongra bravo. God has not called us unto uncleanness. So any form of it, we don't cut it. Any form of uncleanness, God has not called us into that. That whatever we promote, it should be that which promotes holiness. And so this must be a Christian checker. Oh, this thing I'm engaging myself in, this thing I'm doing, this thing that I'm saying, you know, whatever, how my attitude is being portrayed, is it promoting holiness? Is it like a salt? Is it keeping, is it preserving God's way? Or is it just flowing alongside with all that is common in our time? No. I move to verse 14. And here also the Lord Jesus Christ uses another object to show the distinctiveness of the Christian and his life. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world. I'll say Christopher, we are behind. The truth is that true Christians are the spiritual guides in this world. Believers carry and spread the light of the gospel in this dark world of sin. A Christopher, we are saying, as we said, and some behind on the crown and a among the do as I see, we are see a bonnet, Ashebuma. We are see bonnet soon, Ashebuma. But Christians have the light of the gospel. They bear that light, they bear like a torch, and that wherever they are, this light is made manifest, you see. So that Christians are the light of the world. If Christians are taken out of the world has no gospel. The gospel is gone. The truth of God that brings salvation will be no more. Men will be lost. There will be no knowledge of God on earth. God has left the gospel to us. The pillar, as the apostle Paul told Timothy, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The gospel and all the doctrines and the way that man may be saved and lived a life that pleases God is committed to believers. So, like the apostles, they were going to preach the gospel. They were the light of the world to send. By their work, the gospel went throughout the whole world, from Judah, from Jerusalem, to all the world, and men began to know the knowledge of God. And then the believers, as we are today also, we are this torch bearer, we are these light bearers of, who represent God here. So, we carry and spread the light of the gospel in this dark world of sin. It's our duty, you see. So if I'm a Christian, I must always remember I am a light bearer. I bear the gospel light. So me a Christian here, or say who said in Sempa Hino Ikrami. We come more and grant Sempa Hino be. If we say sir, yeah, Christopher, if you are that is what in Sempa Hino if you are saying. Or the Amma Christopher, say Yem Koso, Yemfa, a Hino, and Maria. You see, we are saying one name is Adukuri. Apostles, no, the Shah, see, I can't Sempa. From Jerusalem, and the man, Sapanko, we are seeing here. Now, I'm sorry, I'm so young, so young. See, if you're so far, A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Or see a cry you see people so no and this also is a figurative expression, and because we know that a hill city is easily noticed by all who approach it. A crazy person will be up at your own city. When you do a book to independent, when you apostle, and this is also true of a Christian's identity. If we are true Christians, our identity will be easily noticed by all. So it's admirable, almost like the fact that here the Christian's identity is easily noticed. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You are the light. Now he compares us, the believer who bear the light, as a city on a hill. So that, like, let's say, like a picture of a lighthouse. You see the ship coming, you see that light blinking. But here he said that you are like a city set on a hill. The church, even in the Bible, is compared to a holy city. But I only want to show the but let's just concentrate on the fact that the Christian life is easily noticed by the world. Yeah, they will know that you are a Christian wherever he or she is found. Your conduct will testify of you. So that it is not possible to be a Christian and live among people and you not be known as a Christian. Then that Christianity is not true. You're a Christian here. And yet, and to me, Basel Betra, only go Kubawa, Omunda, and no Christo, yeah, no, and your papa. Ah, yes, I must run my class, or a pepper. Then, mum, said the Vijay Menoma, the Sunni may be at Yano, Oma Behusa, the Obia, the Su, and the Sibia City. Yes, Omontia said about almost the difference rooms. Sometimes a Christian may feel not so courageous to show more, but as you are growing, then you begin to see that I must have to show forth my Christianity. Remember Nicodemus? Initially, he hid his Christianity. He came to Christ in the night. He seemed to somebody who have heard of Christ and wanted to know more. He came to Christ by night. But there are two passages about him. It shows that he didn't hide his Christianity again. In John chapter 3, verse 1, John chapter 7, verse 50, and 19, verse 39. Then John chapter 7 verse 50, at that time, I think the Lord Jesus Christ preached, and the Jews, he tried to convince them he is the Messiah. And then his brothers, I think there was a feast of the tabernacle, yes, in Jerusalem, and the brothers said, oh, go there, let people see that you are the Messiah. But he said that his time was not up. So his brothers went, and later he also went. And when he went, he preached. And some people were doubting, is he the Messiah or is he not? They said, no, I am the one. And then the conversation began. And at a point, some of the Pharisees, and they were finding ways to arrest him, but they couldn't because the people, some of them have seen how he teaches, and they were so, believing what he's saying. And then some of them said, oh, this man is not the Messiah, he's from Galilee. And so they were condemning him. And then Nicodemus says, oh, among those Pharisees, those council, that how do you judge somebody if you have not listened to him? And they said, are you also part of the disciples? So here we see Nicodemus voicing out. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and when he died on the cross, when they brought him down, it was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea who took his body. He identified with Christ. So you see, though initially he seemed to be afraid or because of the status, but by and by he was seen as a Christian. You see, so that a city that is settled on a hill cannot be hid. Nicodemus was part of this believers. You see, so if unbelieving relations and friends are not able to notice from our conduct, our conversation, our choices, our entertainment, our ambitions, that we hate sin and fear God, and also that we are servants of Christ and we are bound to his commands, then we must examine our Christianity. Our unbelieving friends and relations, if they are not able to identify us, they may not like it, but they will see it. Then we can say, Nisama, Nisam Kaimu, Mesima, Because that is what it means that we are sitting set on a hill. That our life and our Christianity will be seen. It cannot be hidden. You see? Remember Peter and John, their Christianity was seen in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I'll read to you. Now, one day, so this Pharisees, these religious leaders, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, they have been students of Jesus Christ. You see, for them they were apostles, they were supposed to be. Maybe as a Christian, you also will not be as a teacher, where people will have to see probably your knowledge and your commitment to Christ. But in any way I find myself, you see, they identified them. They realized that what they are teaching is something that is meaningful. But these people, how can they learn? How do they know these things? You see, they realize that they have been with Jesus Christ, so that they have that connection with Christ. So that is what it means, that the life of a Christian can never be hid. There's no for me, I'm a Christian. No, people say for me, my Christianity is my heart. Only God knows. It's a lie. I'm saying, I think of also me there. Okay, oh yeah, the people who be saying so now, who see Christian, they say, oh, if I am Christian in my heart, my Christianity will be seen by my character, my choices, and my behavior will show. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us. Yeah, the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So that you cannot keep Christianity in your heart, by and by it will be seen. That is what he's saying. My time is running on. I cannot go to the second. My time is up. So I'll leave that one. And let me quickly run through. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, and is given light unto all that are in the house. Again, another example. Or say, Nippon saw candle. No, Frank was shy, they are fancy. Name would see my handbag a few years. It is the same thing. Candles are set alight for a purpose, to provide light for all who are around to benefit. So, the same way Christ saves sinners so that they also become means of saving others. Christopher took candle, said, I saw candle, the light, you know, if you say a shame will be a young person. So, Samson said, Christ will give the boy in him. So that a Christian must be a means of light. You are the light of the world. So that by you bearing this witness, so that when a Christian bear witness of the converting power of the gospel of Christ, and also live carefully as a Christian, this is how to persuade unbelievers. This is to persuade unbelievers. Here, others who are ignorant of this gospel, I can tell them of my conversion experience, but my life also must testify that I am a Christian. And this will persuade unbelievers about the glorious hope of the gospel. Many a time, people want to tell people about Christ, but what about my life? Does it portray that I have this hope in me? That's the question. If I want to tell people about Christ, by my life, do I show that I am of the light? You see, if I am not, then I cannot. See, but if I am saved, then I am supposed to show people this light, so that a careless Christian cannot truly persuade others with the gospel. You see, but a Christian is able, true Christian is able, because he has experienced that converting power. He has tasted the light. He himself has seen the light of the gospel in reality, because he has tasted conversion. And then he living that life that is pleasing to the Lord. So that to be able to be Christ's witness and to witness Christ to others, we should be those who have that light. You see, we should be light bearers. We should be those who have really been changed by the gospel itself, and we also went about to tell others. And when we are saved, that's the purpose to save others. So again, the idea that we in the church, we have the clergy, the laity, yes, the church has officers, but every believer must be able to witness to others, you see. Must be able to tell people about what Christ has done. You see, many a time in the miracles of Christ, when people are here, look at how they do. They go and publish it. Everyone is able to tell what Christ has done for them. The demon possessed, he was supposed to go and tell others what Christ has done for him. The woman of Samaria, she wants to announce it. You see, naturally, if I am converted, I'll tell people what the Lord has done to me. The change that has come to my life, you see. So, that is how we are able to witness to others. So, one of the signs that I am converted is not merely maybe telling people, but from my own heart and my experience, what God, to be saved is to be saved from sin. The change that has come to my life. Before, I was so and so. Not that maybe before I go to church, but before, I was so and so a sinner. All those who were saved from sin. And now, by the grace of God, the working of the Spirit of God in my heart, now I'm able to live a life, not that I'm free from all, but I'm able to live a life that sin do not control me. Because of what Christ has done, I place my trust in Him. So you see, I'm able to see that change in me. And from that, I'm able to tell others of that change. My time is good, but let me add in that verse 15. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let your light so shine before men. This is a command to all believers. And this command is to them, for us to live as those who have received the light of life from Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, He's the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he said that, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So believers have received the light of life from him. You see, that's why he's able to tell believers, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. Because they have the light of Him, in the life of Christ in them. Let your life so shine before men. Let my life in you shine forth. You see, my life, the life, the light of men. Let my life shine forth in you. I say, Muna, mu yeria si hai. Muma, mu hai enche o ni peni so. If we say, a Christo ni kwa yenu kron kronu, why, or yenu kronu, Christo kanya o ni mu, Christo ni mkwa o ni mu, and the opanye say, omu, boa bravo, I share na nisu. Let your life so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So that when the life of a faithful Christian is witnessed, God is glorified. He's glorified to testify of His saving grace, that truly God's grace has saved this person. And when people witness the change in my life or the life of any Christian, that living as a Christian, God is glorified. You see? And this bears witness of the changing power of the gospel of Christ. So that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to show, that if we have embraced the gospel, if we have trusted in Him, then our life should show forth that the changing power of His grace has come to us. I quote to you last verse and I'm done. It's like 1 Peter 2:19. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if we are believers, we are part of this chosen generation of God, a royal priesthood, a royal holy nation, a peculiar people, a distinct people of God, who bear the light of God's truth, who bear the light of God's life in us, you see. May the Lord help us, so that we will increase in our saltiness, and also our light as we shine forth the truth of Christ in us.